Heavenly Father, we're very glad that you're here in the form of the Holy Spirit, anointing us, helping us, giving us liberty and life in you. We're very grateful, Lord, your gracious conduct toward us, that you woo us to yourself, and you show us the things we need to know. And above all, Lord, we realize that now that you're here, all things are possible that you have set forth within the realm of redemption, whereby you said I would send Elijah or I just utterly destroy. And we know, Lord, that's not in your plan, for you cannot destroy the righteous with the wicked, but you have your messenger sent and already been sent, that the impossible has been overcome through the blood and the grace and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to honor your name this morning, to get right into the spirit, Lord, of study of your word and glorify your name as never before. Feed on it, Lord, to give us strength and build us up in the most holy faith. And release that life, Lord, that's in that word, in these human conduits down here, that we might truly be living epistles, read and known of all men, that we have been with Christ and our Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're back with Christ as the mystery of God revealed, and this is message number 24. And as usual, we recall that the message has three divisions. Brother Branham mentioned that God dealt in revelation in order to bring about a preeminence to himself, and then he would restore a people who needed redemption, redeem them back to Eden. Now, he says here that Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, when you deal with Christ, you must understand you're dealing with his pre-human flesh incarnation, you deal with his human flesh incarnation, and you deal with his post-human birth or incarnation. Now, what we're saying there is that Brother Branham said that God and Jesus were not alike in one ground only. He said they're exactly alike except Jesus had a beginning. He also said that Jesus prayed, and he did pray, that he might be glorified with the glory that he had in the beginning. And Brother Branham explained that Jesus was able to take on a form of manifestation which he called a theophany. The word theophany is very simple. It just comes from two Greek words, simply mean theo, which is God, and phanero, to show forth. So therefore, God, being invisible, simply showed himself, and he took this way of showing himself, which was in Christ. So therefore, we have a pre-human incarnation, a pre-birth incarnation. Because remember, God took upon himself a form at the time that he went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he talked to Abraham, and he stood there as a man outside the tent, having his feet having been washed, and he ate flesh of an animal, drank the milk of the cow, as Brother Branham said, and talked with Abraham and with Sarah. Then there came a time when that same one who called himself the Lord from heaven came down and incarnated himself in a human body. And remember, the very life of God was the life that was in those cells that brought that child to birth. As Brother Branham said, the body is so much a part of God, it is a son. That's where you can trace it right on back to manifestation, showing where God can come forth and manifest himself and be known as the Son of God. And then we find, after his post-incarnation, his post-human incarnation, he left that body. Brother Branham said that God, that spirit, left the body of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we know that body was taken up to the right hand of majesty on high, where he is interceding for us. That's the human element there. But that Christ, which is the post-incarnation, afterward, he turned back to a pillar of fire, and there he dealt with Paul, he dealt with the Christians all through the ages. So we're looking at Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And so there's a great mystery in here, and God is thoroughly exposed and brought out through the Christ, who actually becomes the Messiah of Israel, and he's our Messiah. The words are the same, Mashiach in the Hebrew and Christos in the Greek. Now, this message with the three divisions, revelation, preeminence, restoration to Eden, dealing with the Christ, this message here that Brother Branham brings has to do, of course, with the rapture. Because we can't get back to God's Eden, New Jerusalem, which is God's government established, which will eventually be upon earth, until first we are resurrected and then translated. And it's a short section of the rapture, which is the message of which this is a part, and we're seeing this revelation, preeminence, going into
the Edenic condition, which we'll soon arrive at, being restored, and that's what Brother Branham is dealing with here. So just get my thought here now. When Brother Branham is dealing with this major discussion of the God is being revealed, or any mystery that God has contained, any mystery that we have wondered about can be exposed to us and made clear through this Christ. This, what he's teaching here, because it's to get us back to Eden, is literally the shout. So everything going on has to do with the message that Brother Branham himself brought us. So you understand that. It's a shout section of the rapture, the conditions preceding the rapture that's taking place today, and this is a great part of the exposition. Now, we want to understand, as I said previously, that the prophet is involved in all three, revelation, preeminence, and restoration. Concerning revelation, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Bible says so. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that was the message. Now, I don't care how your thinking goes and what you've been taught. If you don't accept that, you do not believe the word. I'm sorry, but that's where you got to go. I told you my own trouble was in Arizona when Brother Branham spoke that message, I believe on the 4th of December, 1965, and he said the shout is the message. In my heart, I said, my God, Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of things, and this is the toughest thing. I just can't see it. And suddenly, like my own voice said, when was he ever wrong? And I said, the shout is the message. Had I closed my heart at that time, it would have been all over. Now, you can do what you want. See, I told you, I'm going to meet you at Judgment Day. And if I don't lay this on in such a way that you're going to get it, then I'm responsible. I cannot give you a revelation. But I can teach you this truth. And you can get this truth to such an extent, apart from a revelation, you'll still realize it's so, but it's not going to do anything for you. That is too much. You could come up as a foolish virgin, perhaps. Well, this, which is great. That's better than the lake of fire and ease. All right. This descent of God in the form of the Holy Ghost is exactly what took place. Now, Brother Branham categorically also states over here in Ephesians, and I'll read it to you, that first chapter, where he said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you, the Father, Lord, the God of glory, no, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, it says right here, the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes into the church particularly with a revelation which he is going to give to make something known for you, which lets you know that you cannot get this by the baptism with the Holy Ghost yourself. Impossible. You can be baptized with the Holy Ghost 1,000,000 times a day, forget it. Talk in tongues, turn the world upside down, perform miracles, forget it. Now, if you got that attitude, I'm sorry for you. You're just wrong, that's all. Just frankly, period, wrong. Bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Well, if people got the Holy Ghost like they claim, how come there's 1,500 different thoughts on that? What's this fellow's name? Estes or something out there in California for a long time called himself the great teacher in prophecy. And he's got had us back in the Philadelphian age. So much for nonsense. So much for the Holy Ghost. No more Holy Ghost there than nothing. See? Where are the men that are supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues and brought his dead dry sermons on Daniel? Put you fat to sleep. You didn't go to sleep under Brother Branham unless you're already so thoroughly exhausted you couldn't help yourself. And you nod yourself back to awakening. Revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. And he's telling you something. See, a messenger. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal them, reveal those great deep secret things. So we see, therefore, that the Lord descends with a shout. That spirit of wisdom revelation comes into the church. But remember, God uses a prophet. He cannot bypass his way of doing things. He will not talk to a group. Now, I'll tell you how he will talk to a group, but he won't. It'll be somebody else. Have a seance. Get Madam Queen to sit there, and you're all blindfolded in a dark room, whatever it is. Hold hands. Wait for the rattles to rattle, the trumpets to trump. The lights to light. You'll hear something. Hogwash. Some perverted woman, perverted men, takes a vindicated prophet. See? The actual Greek says it wasn't Doesn't say it's the voice of the Lord himself. Well, what voice did God ever use? A prophet. See, so it's a prophet. Thus it is Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit and his prophet, and you cannot separate them. There's an indelible link, and you separate one from the other, you're going to go blind. You cannot separate one from the other. To mention Brother Branham is to mention God. To mention God is to mention Brother Branham. Not that they are the same, but you understand what I'm saying? Inextricably woven. You try to separate, you're going to go plumb off into a tangent. A lot of people did that. They couldn't understand, say, well, couldn't really make themselves believe that William Branham was God to the people. Well, he was as God. He was this. He was that. Then try to tell me they understand this message. Don't give me that nonsense. I've watched them there back in Pentecost. Here he came out. You've got to understand that this is it. You say, well, how can I trust that? By evidence. What evidence? God's evidence. Preeminence. Preeminence is literally the proof that God is the one that's giving the revelation. And that preeminence is what we found in John 14 and 12. That was a greater works than this shall he do because I go to my Father. In other words, God guaranteed that in some man's ministry down the road, there would be a greater manifestation or a greater success of his ministry in the life of that person than it was in his own life. Brother Branham said that. The preeminence, which simply means that God has vindicated himself to the prophet, then he vindicates the prophet to the people, and the people's got to know that it's God. Then when the people know that it is God, they're responsible. But some, I should say, don't feel that way. You, come on. This was not done in a corner. The church hierarchy turned this down. Don't you know everything runs, it always has run from the foundation of the world. God does something, the devil steps in, the people believe the devil instead of God, except the tiny minority. It's always been that way. The third one, restoration. Who brings restoration? God says in Hosea, I think it is, or it says in Joel, I will restore, said the Lord, but he says, Elijah restores. So now you've got revelation, preeminence, and remember the preeminence that God gives himself through the ministry of the prophet turns about so that we give him preeminence because now we know that we know. You don't have to understand it perfectly, but you know the source. That's like Elisha. What did he say when he wanted the river to split in two? He, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He didn't say, oh, he said, hallelujah, I've got double portion. Now Elijah's gone. I believe that word. He said, I think I see things. I think that's great. He said, Lord God of Elijah. And I'd say this, if you've got any doubt in your mind, in your heart, do what I've done many times. Lord God of William Branham. Absolutely. Doesn't make him God. You don't pray to him. Don't set his picture up. Or you could take a look at that picture there and say, I'm looking at something which I know is real. Not the prophet, but above the prophet and the times in the prophet. That's a picture of a supernatural being. That's Elohim. So I don't think that's Elohim. Well, be my guest. Think what you want to think. You wouldn't pray to the picture, but you could pray with that in mind. Say, Lord, you showed yourself. Amen. See? That's Christ, actually. Form of the Holy Spirit. That's the one. So we believe him, see? So, all right, you see, these three divisions, what we're looking at, when you hear this message of Brother Branham, you'll understand now why I keep referring to William Branham in this hour. Because that's what it's about. Okay. Now, Brother Branham was dealing with the thought of restoration. And you cannot deal with the thought of restoration to its depth unless you keep on bringing in revelation and preeminence. You just can't do it. Because it's one message with those three divisions that's presenting an entire whole so that you may see Christ exposed before you. Just the same as Brother Branham said, he was exposed, the temple curtain was rent in twain. The veil was rent in twain. And there they saw exposed what they needed to see. And what they saw was Christ upon a cross. Now, the veils of the temple, the denomination and dogmas have been split, have been rent. And what is exposed? For the first time, the Holy Spirit is loosed from creeds and dogmas, and we see God in His majesty through the action of the Holy Spirit. And Brother Brad said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. He said, the words of a man will not do this. He won't do it. Neither will the words of any man, though he takes the word of God, will produce what that was produced, unless that's the word for the hour, and God told him to say those words. Get a lot of phonies, but it won't work. Now, we're going to read then in page 73, and we'll try to move as rapidly as we can. Notice Colossians 18 verse here, the book of Colossians verse 18. He, Christ, is the head of the church, which is the body. He, Christ, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Then in all things, he might have the preeminence. All right. He is the head of the church, which is his body. And he wants the preeminence. Listen now. Listen close while we were going. Now remember, we already know the preeminence in the life of the prophet. God revealing himself to the prophet. And the prophet coming on the scene with the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord coming to pass. Proving the prophet is the one you're to listen to. All right, now listen. He is to be the head of the body. His bride's body, which is taken from him, flesh and bone, like in Adam. See, born, bride born from the dead. That's from the dead, sin of unbelief. What killed Eve? Unbelief, is that right? Unbelief in what? What? For unbelief in God? No, she had faith in God, sure. Did she say there's no God? No, sir. She was not an infidel. Well, she said, you know, I don't believe his word at all. Oh, no. She believed all but one little thing. See, now, what we're looking here is the return to headship, because it says he is to be the head of the body. Now, it doesn't only mean future head of the body, but he was to be the head of the body in the plan of Almighty God. For the head of man is Christ, we know that, and the head of Christ is God. And the head of the body, speaking, the bride body, which will come forth entirely in the second half of the first resurrection, making one complete whole unit, the one sitting there on the throne will be the Lamb, which will be God incarnate. So we're looking at the fact that this is the predestinated plan of Almighty God, that he is to be the head of the body. And what body? His bride's body, which is taken from him. Not some other body. The headship will not match up with any other body but Christ. And when you realize how many bodies there are, and how many doctrines and creeds and dogmas, what is in the world today, you can understand that this group is going to be very, very small. And notice it says this bride is taken from him. Flesh and bone like in Adam. Bride born from the dead. Now, what is he talking of this end time now? The return to headship, which is what we're looking at. And the return to headship, of course, is required. And we only know headship is here because of the preeminence that we see that Christ gave himself. He manifested and proved himself to be that one that we're looking to, and he is that head. Not in the carnate form now, but disincarnate. The incarnation will come at the wedding supper or just before the wedding supper. Now, at this time, the bride is coming forth born from the dead. Born from what dead? Born from the death of creeds and dogmas which have killed her. At the same time, those that are dead, the bodies are dead, moldered in the dust, have turned back to gases. For all we know, they also are going to come back. Now, they cannot come back until our unbelief has turned to belief. See? We'll just keep on reading. This woman Eve failed and went into death and sin. Sin and death, rather, because she disbelieved one little thing. Now, that one little thing wasn't really one little thing. She could have taken a whole paragraph or almost a whole book and not done any more damage. See? What was the word of the hour? Just one word. Don't eat of that tree or you die. And Satan came and said, well, you won't surely die. So she said, hey, that's good news. I like the sound of that. And he persuaded her. See? She changed one word. She put in the word not. He said, you will die. You'll die. You'll not die. One little word. Now, it wasn't the fact of one little word. It's the fact that one little word did. Like you take one little teaspoonful of sugar. And you pour it into a little gas motor. You put in 5 pounds. Well, the motor cools off. It's finished. She's stuck in there solid. See, you don't need to take a washed up full of prussic acid. You take one little drop, put it on your lip. You're gone within seconds. So you see, the one little word, you got to realize it's not one little teensy thing. It's a monumental thing that can be done with a change. See, destroys the whole thing. That's what Brother Branham is saying. You've got to be careful that you don't change anything. Now, this revelation, based upon a preeminence to get us back to Eden, which primary factor of the three is the revelation, cannot be changed, and he's speaking of the revelation for this hour. And the major thrust is God appearing in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire, as Hebrews 13 and 8, with his prophet. Not just here, but here as Hebrews 13 and 8. See, he's not been here that way before. He's always been that way, but not here. And people just can't understand it. They won't let their thinking go. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. I saw pillar of fire Pentecost. Listen, why don't you just shut up? I'm going to hurt you. People can't listen. I blab a lot, but I can listen. I've got something that few men have. Suddenly get quiet. It's a gift. You've got to learn to listen. See? Like one person said, you got two ears and one tongue. Well, maybe it's cut off at both ends, you waggle in the middle. I don't know. But you got to watch. Listen. Let your thinking go. Now, understand this. There is no way with the denominational mind, if you've got it, you can follow what the prophet said. I guarantee you, I'll meet you at judgment day. I will. I'll meet you at judgment day. And I'm not boasting, and I'm not afraid. And I know there's a God. I know the pillar of fire is here. Not in this building, but he's here. Ladies in the millennium. Denominational mind will destroy you. When Brother Branham preached the rapture, it was all over. His ministry is gone. It's gone. Number one, nobody believed it outside of us. And many of us who said we believed it didn't understand it. So where does that leave you? Not trying to be rough, just telling you the truth. She believed all but one little thing. And that was the thing that did it. Now, didn't the Bible say in the book of Revelation, now he's coming right to this hour, Jesus himself, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify of these things unto you. Whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it. See? Now, what he's doing is saying here, putting you onto himself, that faith in the revealed word of Elijah is going to do something for you. And if you turn it down, you settle right back into debt. This time a twofold debt. Because you got the guarantee of the lake of fire. He said, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Tells you right here, for it's impossible those who once were on the light in verse 4 have tasted heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, having fallen away, it's impossible to ever renew themselves to repentance. But a fire comes. There's no place you're going to go from this time on. No second chance, no nothing. No more ages, no more word, no more anything. Now listen to what he says here. And if all this heartache and sorrow had come because a woman doubted one word of God, will he let you back doubting one word? Now look where that puts us. Now who's he talking about? He's talking about William Branham vindicated. Yes, William Branham vindicated. Or we could pull his picture down and stomp in the mud and light a bonfire, desecrate his grave, and take everything he said and mutilate it, because look, I could do it myself. In pure malice and hatred, you're just heaping up trouble for yourself, kid, at the end time. Because that's going to stick there. I don't think I like a man. Well, you better look in the mirror. You ain't so hot yourself. Amen. What have you produced? What have you ever done? Has anybody fallen to your feet and said, my Lord and my God, because they saw so much Christ in you and got confused? Ha! Let's all go home and laugh for an hour and a half. Here's some communion wine. It was 20%. It's just passed around. I'll get drunk. You don't like my ribald statements? You'd be happy on judgment day I was this tough. Because I want you to know something, brother, sister. This man was vindicated. Or we've got a God that's a liar. We've got something that backs up God's own word. Now, you show me one scripture. Give me one scripture where anybody but God backs up God's word. No, people don't want it. Let me read it to you. Acts 13. Most people don't know this in the Bible. Is it Acts 13 chapter? We'll soon find out. Listen to what it says here. And by him all the believer are justified from all things in which you couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. That's verse 39. Verse 40. Beware therefore lest that come upon you, which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Thoroughly exegeticize it. Surely bring it out in the open. Truly bring it out there. Said you won't believe it. Will he let you back with doubting? Well, my God, where are we going to put this thing? If we're down to a deadline here, we're back to a beginning where one woman had one word that threw the whole thing out. Let me show you something. If William Branham is out in one word, we're back in worse shape than he. We've blown it. So Elijah comes and blows it. Oh, you won't believe that? You got to believe that Elijah comes and he doesn't blow it. For except I send Elijah to reverse what? To reverse this. To get you back under the seventh seal, which is immortality. This is the seventh seal in the garden. God revealing himself and revealing his way and his will personally to his bride, which was twofold. Two people only. And they blew it. They could have walked into immortality. God's schedule. Plan for immortality. Let me show you something. Oh, God, I hope we have time this morning to get to this. To really understand. His plan was for immortality. He had to get them there. And he said, they can't come this way. And he put it back to the seventh seal. When they're going to get there. See? Let's watch that seventh seal. Because it's in this book. Now, will he let you back doubting if you're doubting one word? He would be unjust. See, that wouldn't be right. Condemned. She was. Here's one man standing. He caused all of his heartache because of one word doubted. Then he goes ahead and takes years of experience and everything in the Bible and so forth and others who give their lives for it and then say, now Brother Brand saying, look at all the people that have given their lives for Christ. They've suffered down through the ages, martyrs and so on. Can he now say to this generation, oh, you can go ahead and eat it, that's all right. I'll let you back anyhow. In other words, what? Partake of the perverted word, the creed and the dogma. See? Oh, God's no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. Now, that's very good to realize that. He is not going to churn for us. He'll say, well, you look at the same thing I've told you time and time. He said, behold, I send you Elijah. The prophet, or the whole thing gets washed out. And if you say, oh, Lord, we love you. We don't need Elijah. What are they talking about? Oh, give it to the Jews. Hogwash. By the time you give it to the Jews, the world's going to burn anyway. It's already in conflagration. It's already started. It's reeling and rocking. This is where the righteous don't perish with the wicked. And according to Brother Branham, the 144,000 sealed in die. Then where does it leave the Word of God? Don't get your thoughts confused, brother, sister. Notice now, he is the head of the body that's born from the sin of unbelief in God's Word. And he's talking of the present condition. Headship is here. We got to return to headship, or we don't go in. Why? Because we don't die. You understand? Listen, Noah died. He was in pretty good shape. Abraham's father, no doubt, was what we call a Christian. He died. Now, we're coming to the time of Abraham. He's typing this hour. Abraham is not dead. But expecting the Son in flesh to come upon the earth. So Abraham lives. He's changed in his cells. A type of immortality. Brought back to youth. See? That's what you're looking at. So the scripture says concerning Elijah. He's going to come at a time of a Sodom condition when Abraham and Sarah did not die and the Sodom condition was dealt with. That's your Son of Man appearing this hour. See, okay. He is the head of the body that is born from the sin of unbelief in God's Word. So he's talking about us. A spiritual resurrection. See? Now this spiritual revelation and resurrection could not happen apart from a vindicated revelation. Now watch. He's the head of the body that's born from the sin of unbelief in God's Word. What about the days of Paul? They didn't have this problem. They never had the Word of God perverted. They never had an unbelief in the Word of God. They didn't have the Word of God. Right? Right. So you're talking of something else here. You're talking of a current message with the current people. Now, that excuses. That word doesn't mean giving it, you excuse him. It means you leave him out. If I'm excused from something, you think, well, I'm pardoned. This word Brother Branham is not using is the word pardon. He means they're omitted. They're pushed to one side. They're excused from the room. They're not in the arena. That excuses every denomination, every creed. Unbelief in the Word. What about this newborn church? Didn't Brother Branham say those five stars in confluence signified the birth of a new bride church? She certainly did. What was she born from? The creeds and the dogmas. She got away from it. The death was in the pot. Unbelief in the Word, which is himself the Word of life. Now, what's he say here? He's talking about the preeminence of Christ, wherein God has manifested himself to be the life that is in that Word, and the Word of life, which is Logos, meaning the manifestation of the Word. You follow? See, the Word only has life. A vindicated Word is a living Word. But whose Word and whose life is in it? Therefore, Christ is made visible in this hour, and the church turned it down. Look at, where's Pentecost today? They scream, a man sent from God a prophet, but not Malachi 4. Ah, us great judges. We pronounce. I'm afraid. See, the Word only has life. Any other word is a hybrid. No matter how much it looks like it, it isn't the Word. The Word produces its own life, yet Eve swapped that Word that lives for the personal knowledge which came through some man's understanding. Now, if you're reading with me, you see that I've changed that reading a bit so you'll understand what Brother Brown was saying. Because you read it just the way he said it here. It's pretty hard to understand what he's saying. But the Word produces its own life. In other words, Logos there is constantly producing whatever God had said at that moment, which I'm not privy to and you aren't either, came manifested to her. She turned it down for what somebody told her about it. That's what's happened today. You follow me? That's what's happened today. See? It's been swapped. Moses had a great understanding of God till he met the burning bush, then he saw his failure. The burning bush had what Moses lacked. In other words, Logos, or God in manifestation, can be partaken of. And Moses didn't have it. And so today, do you understand the exclusivity of what I'm saying? Now look, I'm putting myself right in the chopping block with Brother Branham. He said, nothing outside of this message will come to light. Only this word can reproduce itself, and it reproduces itself in human beings which are mortal, standing here to immortality and bring the dead out of the ground. That's what he said. This is what vindication's all about. You say, well, that's too far-fetched. Well, I want to rock along. I want to rock along. They rocked along in the days of Noah. And Noah was there building the ark. And Noah was there doing what he's supposed to do. And they rocked along, and they rocked along, and they rocked along, and eight people came out. Blood relatives. Are you blood relative of Christ? If you are, you believe this message. Because the life is in the blood. And we're supposed to have the life that was in the blood. Then you believe the life that was manifested. Israel did not believe the life that was manifested in a human form. Neither do people believe it now. You see where we're at? I want you to understand. The words got what denominations lack. What do denominations lack? Life. They lack the life. Now listen. Anybody like Janice and Jambers can do, because they're anointed with the Holy Spirit unto gifts, but not the truth, can produce an awful lot of things. Judas, the devil incarnated, could go out there, raise the dead by the power that God gave, heal the sick and everything else, because God told him to do it. But there's no life in it. Why? Because life is in the Word, and it's the Word demonstrated within its context, revelation proven by manifestation, giving him the preeminence, and we believing, become identified with it. Now, he, the head, is the first fruits of the resurrection. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Is that right? Then what is he? He's the head of the body, which is his bride or church bride. Then the bride body must follow the head, for it is part of his resurrection and part of the mystery. It is impossible for it not to go. Oh my, it's part of God's mystery. How God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word, so he reveals the church and raises it up by the same word. It's a part of the threefold mystery. Now, what are you looking at here? You're looking at identification with Christ. Identification with this word of the hour. Now, let's go over that again. He said he's the head of the body, which is his church bride. Then the bride body must follow the head. That's right, because look at here. There's no good having a head and a body if they're not joined together. See? And remember, there's one thing, brother, sister. We're not like a fetus when you come to the bride of Christ. Because the fetus will form the spine and the head and everything else at the same time. This is not true with us. We have a head from which all of us receive something to make us what we are. And that was disjointed in the sense of not being together in the physical form, but one day it's going to be. See? So the bride body must follow the head, or the body of the bride must follow whatever her head is, because that's part bride. That's part. Same cell, same everything. Now, the bride body must follow the head, for it's part of his resurrection and part of the mystery. That's true. And part of the mystery of God revealed is Christ in the resurrection. And you're getting a part of it now, which is the shout which leads you to the resurrection. Now, let's go over that. Because look at brother, sister, we've got to know this where we stand, or the whole thing just falls to the ground. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what? It follows something else you're going to get. And you don't get this except you get this. As two follows one, 8:19 follows 18. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand? It tells you God has got to bring about a resurrection power in a mist that's going to take us and put us right up there with him. What's it going to follow? The revelation. And how are you going to get in? Unless this is a perfect revelation that reverses every single thing that Eve did and threw upon the human race of unbelief. Unbelief is going to go, period, for the first time in history. Takes you right back to the garden. So it's good to study some of those sermons Brother Branham preached about absolute faith. Absolute dedication, the word of Almighty God. So we must have an absolute faith word here. So I don't know that God would put that upon us and put it through a man. Well, there you are. You just blew it again. How could God do that? Because he's God. And he wants to do it. Yeah, I'm on a very strict diet. Should be, anyway. My wife can nag me if I feel like he's not eating anyway. Then it gets to the place I feel so bad that I realize it's smart for me to not do it. But that's the way we are as people. But if we're feeding on the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no blemish in us. There'll be no unbelief. There'll be no fault. Now, looking at ourselves, I say, well, how can this thing be? What's it to you? What's it to you? Solomon, the wisest man, sat back and he said, there's a few things I don't understand. A few things I don't understand. And he named them. There's lots of things we don't understand. What's to understand? Believe. Then comes understanding. What if Moses had said, well, boy, I want to tell you one thing. I don't understand how that crazy old bush is burning. I'm just going to run away from here as fast as I can go. Do you think any of God's children act that way in the presence of God? Don't be ridiculous. Nah. No, look, they have a little fear on their hearts because this is strange, but they walk into it on all fours. No, the bride is not some kind of a messed up thing. She believes. Okay. He said, then the bride body must follow the head, which is part of the resurrection, part of the mystery. It's impossible for it not to go. It was impossible for Eve and Adam to keep living. Now under this, it's impossible not to keep on living. Okay? Go part of the resurrection. Because if you live or not, it doesn't matter. You're in the resurrection. Oh my. It's part of God's mystery, how God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word. Back there, Israel understood a resurrection. They understood there's going to be one. Understood there's going to be Messiah. Then God showed them what it was, and they turned it down. Now you've got the same thing repeating here, which the bride will not turn down. Remember, the elect never turned down Christ in his day. Oh, no, no, they never turned it down. So don't you worry about turning him down. Now, so he reveals the church and raises it up by the same word as part of his threefold mystery. And we read that in Ephesians 1. Now, as the head was taken from the grave, so must the body follow him back to Eden. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, no missing. See? Now, why? Why must that happen? Because a vow has been made. Remember, the head is called the groom, and the body is called the bride. So, therefore, a vow has been made. And remember, the bride's vow has always been, whoever thou goest, I will go. See? That's her vow. And his vow is, I'm going to take care of you, even as I love my own body, I love you. And I'm going to take care of you. So you see, the body, he's going back to Eden, the government of God, God's government on earth. Yep. So she's going back too. The bride being the body of the bridegroom must follow, because that's the head. And the head's revealed and come back with eternal life. Now watch what he said. And the head's revealed and come back with eternal life. You follow that? Malachi 4. But unto you shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. Immortality. Behold, I show you a mystery. The mystery of Christ. We shall not all sleep. What is that mystery? Revelation. That he is here to raise the dead. Manifested that he is. Thoroughly explained. So that we know. And remember, we always know after the fact. Told you about Moses. There's the burning bush. God didn't get Moses to stand aside and, oh, you know what it was. God had himself burning in the bush and Moses saw it. He attracted Moses. And Moses wondered what it was. Then what happened? After the fact, God, he knew who it was because God told him. Then Moses went to Israel and God manifested in signs and wonders and visibly showed himself in a pillar of fire like that on a mount. Then after the fact, they knew. See? Wasn't it tragic that Eve had to learn after the fact? Well, let me tell you something. We learn after the fact as far as knowledge is concerned, but we don't appropriate it too late. We appropriate it, and it's going to get us out of our troubles. The head's revealed and come back with eternal life. And the body must follow that. Must follow what? That eternal life. Look at here. Come on. John, 1 John, first chapter. Come on, this is nothing but a complete gospel's all over again to the Gentiles. 1 John 1, That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have seen with, or heard, when we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest unto us. I can stand here as a witness and say, I saw what John saw. I was in meeting after meeting. Talks handled. It's a repeat. But this time the bride won't fall. We follow after that very thing we're talking about. The bride must follow that. Why? Because it's husband and wife again. Ephesians 1, 17, we're back again. Amen. And as long as you're impregnated with the same word, which is his body, you took his body, become in him when you took the word, not the creed. All right, let's take a look at that one. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, verse 22, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that you love one another, being born, love one another with a pure heart firmly, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass and so on. Now take that back to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, where they're deceived by Satan. See? Verse 9, even whose presence is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, them that perish. That's Cain and what he did. Because they received not the love of the truth, which Abel did, that they might be saved. Now it tells you, this group here got the love of the truth, the others wouldn't take it. What happens? Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that, they couldn't get it that day. That's for this day. That's where Paul, that's where William Branham comes on the scene. It's all contained in here. But you see, you're looking at that word. Don't go from that word. Not the creed, but the word. See, just think of it now, what it is. Therefore, the body, that's the church, bride, cannot recognize. Now, don't fail this. The body, therefore, cannot recognize any other headship but the word, because the head is connected with the body. What's he saying? I got a head on my shoulders. This is a head, by the way, if you didn't recognize it. It's not on your shoulders. My body cannot recognize your head. No way. My body can only recognize. I put my hand on the hot stove. Right off the bat, the fingers go up, zip. And the brain says, the mind says, spirit says in there, says, take the hand off. You don't do it for me. You may scream at me and try to warn me, but your head does not function with my body. Then a bride is irrevocably in tune, joined to the headship which is Christ the Word, which has been revealed to us. Right. And the head is the Word. The head is Logos. The head is printed form, the volume. In a demonstrated form. Now, the body, therefore, the body can recognize any headship of the Word, because the head's connected with the body. And the head is the Word, and it's the same Word, one headship. It never changes. Therefore, denominations and holy fathers and everything else is dead to them. There's one headship. That's Christ. The body only recognizes one thing, which is the Word. Now again, you're looking at the fact of Brother Branham putting himself right in the picture here with Almighty God, like the picture shows there. Now, brother, sister, you know that there's something in the human body that rejects transplants. It's meant that way. The body rejects. And a true bride would automatically reject what is not right. There's a defense mechanism there. The immune system, your filter system, will not allow that wrong word to go through. Will not take a wrong headship. See? Why? Because the head and the body are the same cells. Word and the life is in there. It's the very same thing. No difference. Now, we don't have the magnitude that Christ had, not for one little bit. No way, shape, and form. We have a modicum. We have just enough. You see? Now, the one who gave the word, like Brother Branham is saying here, the head recognizes the headship. She knows that word. She recognizes no other headship. We look here and we know that the one who gave the word makes it live, so it reveals him. You say, well, just a minute. How does it do it? It does it as the prophet declared through a prophet. Show me where somebody was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See? What name are you baptized in? For there's not another name given under heaven, said the word, whereby man can be saved. And if you're baptized to show your belief in Christ, then take on a creed name, then you're a hybrid. Now, you think that goes over good to the public? What happened in Chicago just the other day? All right? The Anglicans and the Catholics got together. And they resolved the difference, if there was ever any, on baptism in the Trinity. And they admit they are one in the Trinity baptism, which means they are one period, and they're assuming drinking out of one cup. Because when you get that far with the enemy, it's not far to go all the way. It's not hard to say, well, what's the difference if you believe this is the blood, and I believe it represents the blood, because we're looking at the same thing, but we're just different-minded. Then you can kiss the Hindus and the Muslims and God knows what. And they're all brothers in Christ. you can just become all Semites, so to speak. Most people don't realize that the Arabs and the Jews have a common heritage that way. They're all Semites. But they sure aren't in the sight of God. For all Israel's not all Israel, even there. But you can see what you're up against, what's going on here. Now, if you're not exactly like that church and exactly like their teaching, then you Catholic people see, how can you go under the jurisdiction of a pope now saying he's the successor of an apostolic succession from Peter? And this pope and this church teaches so contrary to the first word, which God recognized by signs and wonders to be his church, and to see the same word being brought forth today in his purity, showing the same resurrection that he had there, God living amongst his people doing the same things, then you can recognize the headship in Rome? Our headship is in heaven. I'm not going to Rome, I'm going to heaven when I die. See? The headship is in heaven. And he said headship is here also. Now, Brother Branham, by his ministry of God in him doing the works, proves that he is the one to whom the keys of the kingdom have been given, not to Rome. He made the challenge. He said, tell me what church is doing this. Remember, we read this in the same sermon a few weeks ago? He said, show me who's doing this. He said, can you do it? Then why are you talking if you can't do it? But you see, a man's got to have something pretty powerful. You're in that meeting in Chicago? If one of those men had to defy him and come forward, they'd have carried him up feet first. Many a person has died because they defied a prophet. But you see, these things aren't published to make headlines. If they were, people would come in by sheer fear, not by revelation. And what kind of mess would you have? Oh, God, what a pity. It's bad enough as it is now. It's bad enough as it is now, see. And the body must follow the head. That'd be right up to heaven. As the wife follows the husband. Being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression. Now listen, or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at the day of the Lord Jesus when he came forth from the grave, but he had the Redeemer, which is his body. How do you like that one thrown at you? Did you hear what I said? Well, you didn't really hear what I said. Your ears would be flapping right now. Let's go over it again. She was in the transgression. Now watch, or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means millions, possibly millions, hundreds of thousands, possibly, or at least thousands of the bride would have come forth at that very day with glorified bodies. That's what he's saying. Then you don't believe in pre-existence? You don't believe you're somewhere? Bypassing a body up there which is reserved for you when you leave here to come into flesh? And you don't know what Brother Branham was saying if you don't believe that. When he came forth in the grave, but he had the Redeemer, which is his body. Another point. If this is the case, that these people would have to be redeemed, not having yet been born and done any evil. How far did sin reach? Very heavens had to be purified by blood. So you can see when you talk about redemption in Christ, you're talking about a far bigger subject than perhaps you ever realized. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. Do you see it? Oh my, it couldn't happen then. The redemption is going on now. See? Well, what are we saying here? Look at it, as simple as ABC. Lest they stretch forth their hand and eat of the tree of life and live forever, so every single person would have been immortal. He would have had to give them bodies of immortality. Because this is the ultimate of God. This is where your seventh seal comes in. God giving immortality, switching the whole thing over to a new program. And it was aborted. Now this has got to go on in this form until he can call them all out as he wants to call them out. First half of the first resurrection is over. Old Testament bride's made up. Now it's a New Testament bride being made up from the Gentiles. But they have to come forth in human flesh. They're in that process, they're redeemed. Follow that? That's quite easy to understand. Once you look at it. Now you see the seals? Talking about this here. He could have come forth at his resurrection, the entire group, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were already under bondage to the price paid by Christ, and they must go through this life and be redeemed here and brought back. Because you couldn't be part of the bride of Christ without being washed in the blood. You couldn't be a part of receiving that life of which you had that little germ that life had to come back on. Now, I know this talks like a great mystery, but there's no mysteries, just believe it. So, hey, that's the way it is. Praise the Lord. You're in your father's loins, great-great-grandfather, and so on, right up back to Adam. No big mystery. You're a microcosm of the whole universe. And I still believe I'm right in my assumption that if you got regressed under hypnosis, you could speak any language that your forefathers spoke. Because it's in there. Not devils, necessarily, though it could be. You just don't know what's in you. I don't either. Einstein guessed at it, and Brother Brand said he's right. Create worlds. But you see, it's got to be controlled. And Adam and Eve got out of control. It's going to go back into control. I just wonder what lies ahead. It's going to be fantastic. Now you see the seals. Now you see the seals? Seventh seal back there closed. Now open. Now open. Then people say they're not open. How would you get the dead out of the ground? William Branham himself has got to come back. What are you talking about? When he was in his meditatorial work back there redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed, and all that's in this book will be he, for that's the believer, the words in the book. In other words, all that come back will be believers. I mean, he comes back for will be believers. The words in the book, and the word is he. In other words, now he is that word that is here now, having come back in order to get the dead, why? To take them up, to present them. For the marriage supper. He came forth for this book of redemption, whose names are written in the book, before the foundation of the world, when he was slain as a lamb. Well, he couldn't have brought him forth then when he's in his first resurrection. He's got to be progressive. Now listen, here he is today in his word. What's his word for the hour? Matthew 12. Appearing to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit, doing what he did when he was on earth in the flesh. Manifesting the same thing he did there. Did where, when? Back in his flesh. His incarnation. She can't recognize another headship. Why? Because she knows they're the same. The same God in flesh that dealt with Israel is the same one here now dealing with us through the Elijah ministry. And I can't understand why people don't understand presence. They got scared off. They got scared off because I said it. Let's be honest. You know, don't try to kid me. I'm not making a joke. I'm telling you the truth. Because the prophet said so. You think I make the prophet a liar? Then I disbelieve everything else he said. Just put myself down the drain. I believe what he said. I'm not going to go back on it. See, she can't recognize another headship. Why? Because he's doing the same thing he did proving he's Hebrews 13 and 8. See? Sure. She can't recognize another headship. No, sir. No bishop. No anything. She recognizes one headship. That's Christ, and Christ is the Word. Now, what word is that? Logos. Understanding His presence by making the Word live, showing it is He who wrote the Word, His life now in that Word, manifesting that Word. Life always manifests. Somehow. You can't help it. Oh, I love that. Yes, sir. And as the head was taken up from the grave, so must his body now follow him into Eden. I put the word now in there because this is the hour. He sets the premise. As the head was taken from the grave, don't you worry, the body's got to follow. Therefore, the body cannot recognize any other headship but the headship of the Word. Christ is the Word. That's the seventh seal. He is the seals. He can't do anything but that. No denomination can put anything to it. So let you know where you stand. Revelation 10:1-7. Seventh seal. For whosoever shall take one word away from it, or add one word to it, they've taken away from it. You're dead. Hybrid, right there. She's back here with this testimony in her hands. The filthiness of her fornications, committing spiritual adultery against the very words that she claims to believe. Therefore, it's the word or nothing. That's right. Now, Brother Branham, quoting, really is quoting from the book of John. Except you believe I am, you'll die in your sins. Or they said, we got Abraham to our father. He said, you do not have Abraham. You're your father, the devil. They said, we're not serpent seed. We're not born of fornication. He said, you sure are. He said, you're dead. Now, what did they do? They came against the literacy, the actual fact of the presence of God himself in a human being, that time of sacrifice, proving and demonstrating that it was God. And they turned it down, and they had to. Why? Because of their creeds and their dogmas that says, this is impossible from what we know from the Word. And we can sit here this morning and do the very same thing. And I was pretty close to it back in 1965 when God changed my mind. See, don't let the devil bluff you, brother, sister. He'll do everything he can to rob you. The gates of hell, which means that opening that brings people into enclosure of death and shuts you in there, is against the message of the presence that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Branham said so. You do what you want with it. You say, well, I got relatives. I got this. I don't care what you got. I don't have a wife or kids, or I don't even have you on my skirts. Forget it. Fly your own spiritual kite. Do what you want. I believe this. I've got to. There's nothing else I can go to. Nothing else explains it. Nothing else does it. It's the only thing that holds up in the Word of God. Vindicated. So people can do what they want. It's this Word or nothing. Remember, Revelation, preeminence, back to Eden. He said, Brother Vail, I think I can cut that another way. You cut it any way you want. The prophet said three. Revelation, preeminence, back to Eden. And it's all in the show. Every single seed is there, nothing else. How could you listen? How could you trust anybody but God himself to come and do his own work? We've seen everything under high heaven for 6,000 years. Prophets, everything else. Who needs it? I'll get back to the old days where they had a God. This God wasn't worth two bits. And the guy came down and pulled his altar down. Gideon. Oh, pulled down the altars of Jerubbaal. Or they said, hey, we better do something. You and that guy's doing. And his dad said, hold it, you bunch of sap heads. If that God is so big, let him plead for himself. Some God that's so dumb and so stupid, got to have some man plead for him. Some God that hasn't got nothing to ball. Let's another guy get on the scene like William Brown. He's got something from somewhere. Hogwash. You talk about blasphemy. God was there that time in his government. When he closed the door in Eden, he's got to be the one that opens it. You show me a door that God closes and God doesn't open. And tell me he's here like in the baptism. The prophet said the baptism gives way to the baptizer. Who lied? You or the prophet? Give me some sign you got something on the ball. Your dollar signs aren't worth a buck, a nickel to me. I wouldn't give you a nickel for your dollar sign. Go sit under some millionaire and build your nice church and everything else. Go ahead and do it. Cowtown, pander. You can have it. That's all going to burn. There's something that isn't going to burn. when the money system goes down, everything else, you won't have to worry if you got God. What God? God of William Branham. Where was he? He's standing here right now. He said he's standing up inside of me. Oh, merciful God. If that's the baptism with the Holy Ghost, then you and I got nothing. Let's go on home. I've got a few more bottles here. Raise the content to 40%. We'll all get drunk. I'm not kidding you. I'm giving you a little joke, but I mean the truth. I'm telling you. This is too serious, brother. I know I'm a facetious kind of a guy, but down inside I'm not that way. I've got to get this across somehow. Now he said, listen, therefore it's a word or nothing. That's right. How do you know it's right? He, the word, is vindicated. He, the word, properly vindicated is the headship, the head of the church. Who is that word? Logos, not written volume, but the writer of the volume is vindicated. So you know what he wrote is right when the man explains it to you that's ordained of God to prove that this is God. Sure. He is the word, the headship. He properly identified, vindicated, now watch, vindicated by his own spirit being in the church itself, the person showing forth himself in vindication is the direct proof to the entire body. So then he's not in you. He's amongst you. You think 1 minute that I got William Branham head? Oh, come on. God put a big bunch of spirit on Moses. Moses got tired, so God took a big bunch of the spirit off and put it in 70 men, and I'll guarantee you he had more spirit in Moses than all the 70, and God wasn't diminished. So I got the baptism. I wonder if you have. I wonder if you have. He said, well, how do you know you got it? Well, I believe vindication. I got a show for it. I believe vindication. You think I'm smart enough to prove the Pythagorean theorem? I hardly know what that means. As a kid, I could sure use it. And I cared less that old Pythagoras had done it. I just, well, praise God, somebody did. That gets me off the hook. Like Truman said, the buck stops here. That's where the buck stopped, right there. Okay, bring on your golden dollars. He said, bushels of them, bushels of them. Want the coin of the kingdom? Want to fill your treasures up? Give us a word. Well, I don't think Brother Branham's that man. Well, would you like to be? Ah, shucks. Oh, brother, sister. Well, no, but you see, I got... No, you ain't got nothing, brother, sister, but a big dose of pride. See, and even that's bad stuff. All right. Direct proof to the entire body. Okay? That's the identification of Christ, once more in Matthew, the 12th chapter. The prophet identified, God having identified himself to the prophet, and now it's all identified to us, and we believe the word. You don't need creeds then. Denominations have perished. But headship itself, recognized in the body by the personal identification, see, identifying yourself, proves the headship to the body. You follow? The dynamic evidence that vindicates who it is that is doing this gives the right to the prophet to bring us the unadulterated word of truth, which will take us back to Eden. Because if unbelief in one word took us out, belief in the whole word is going to take us in. That's the antidote. I'm going to send Elijah to do it. The rapture is guaranteed. He said, Brother Bear, we waited a long time. Look, and I may be dead tomorrow. Who cares? Praise God, I got both experiences. I die, I miss this one of standing here, which I'm going to tell you right at this point, I'm not interested in just standing here the way I feel lousy a lot of the time. You can have it. Anybody want that? Go ahead, be my guest. I should soon be off the scene, long as I know the Lord loves me. Just soon be off the scene, come back another way. It'd be great to get over there and experience that. On the other hand, it's great not to go and experience this. It's heads I win, tails I win. No matter how you flip the coin, no matter how it comes, how it goes, everything's fine, everything's great, no problem. Just believe. See, Eve did not believe. That led her from the Word and into the sin. We get to the place, brother, sister, where we believe, then there can be no more sin. We're ready for the millennium. You don't need creeds then. Denomination perished. But headship itself recognized in the body by personal indications proves the headship of the body. Then we are, now listen, then we are united under one vindicated headship that is Christ, the Word of God, not under any church. Then our headship is a kingdom. Do you follow that? The kingdom of God on earth is being established. Because the bride recognizes headship. Remember, Eve did not recognize headship. I am sorry, she did not recognize headship. You say, well, I'm sure. You're not sure. You know you're wrong. She did not recognize headship. She said, I think maybe. You don't think maybe anymore. It's, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded. Abraham came to full persuasion of faith. We are in the hour of full persuasion by the opening of the seals. And we cannot miss because God cannot miss. That's what we're looking at, brother, sister. Not something else. We're looking at the truth. Now listen. What a marriage. See? Headship. The vow of the words exchanged at this moment. Now, the kingdom of God is within. You said the Bible. Jesus said it. The kingdom. We're not a denomination. We belong to a kingdom. Now watch. The kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in our life, bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in that day when the word and God were one. Now listen. That's Matthew 12 again. And what is he connected with? Luke 17 and 20. When is the kingdom of God going to come? It's going to come and you won't even see it. It's without observation. And it's here now in the midst of you. And when those days repeat, the kingdom of God is here again and we've gone through a headship. In other words, in plain English, we're married. We're just waiting for the wedding supper. The indissoluble union of the bride and the groom has taken place, and we're going to follow the body which is upstairs already. Up in the heavens. We are going to follow that. The bride in seven church ages is going to follow up there because why? We have come to the place in this age where we receive a perfection that doesn't require death. When you die, it's all over. You'll never sin again. You'll never change again. If you're wrong, you'll always be wrong. If you're right, you'll always be right. Whatever modicum of truth you had for your hour, whatever it was, that's up to God. But here's the time when you won't die. Death loses all of its force because we've come back to the hour where we're back under the word where Eve was and you go right into eternal life, immortality. Notice, we belong to a kingdom and the kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in our own life. Bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in the day when the Word and God were one. The ministry of Christ duplicated. And the Word and God are one in His church today. Amen. That's exactly true. Making it the headship of the body that is redeemed. To bring the message in the last day and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection and go back and restore again as Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Garden of Eden. That's a little bit involved, so let's take a little bit word by word. And the Word and God are one in His church today. Making it the headship of the body to bring the message in the last day to that body in the hour of her redemption to be taken up from the dead in a resurrection and the living with them go back restored again as Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Garden of Eden. Well, that's what he's telling you there. See, that little phrase, that is redeemed, throws you for a loop. So we don't read it that way. And the Word and God are one in His church today. Making it the headship of the body, the body that's under redemption, which is true. And what is the headship doing? To bring the message in the last day. And what's it going to do? It's going to cause the redeemed to be taken up, and the dead, into the resurrection, go back to where God wants them. But you see, restoration is going on now. Because remember, it was in the Garden of Eden, God's government on earth. Watch. At that time, the sin entered. That's type. It should enter in, which it did. Just like in heaven. Satan came down and messed it up. Now look at, they were in that condition in the garden, and they were ready in themselves to want immortality, and God cut it off. So therefore, they will be returned to the place where now they can stretch forth the hand and still not yet be immortal and in the garden. Now that's where we are. Already the government is here. The kingdom is here. And Brother Branham said, the king is here. The judge is here. The sustainer is here. The baptizer is here. The creator is here. Elohim is here. God is here. And he's not here in the way people think he's here. The token could not come till evening time. And the token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as I said many a time, if you say you've got the token, I say you are the liar. Because you do not have the token. The closest came with William Branham in this hour. The token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Holy Spirit manifested, working through a prophet. Notice now, united together under one headship, in a like manner, type of Israel. Now, he's up here, he told you, down here he illustrates. Now, are you getting it? Like Israel, one God vindicated by pillar of fire and revealed himself through a prophet to be the Word. That's right. The same God, same pillar of fire, same way. He cannot change his way. It's that, just as perfect as it can be, isn't it? That's Hebrews 13 and 8, and we're going to close right there because that's about all the time we got. So I hope you got some good out of the message. To me, it's just that, to me, it's the same story, but it's deeper and better. I never caught some of the things Brother Branham said till just this morning. Pre-existence, all those things are in there. Why, no wonder people don't like this message. They can't take it. They think we're kooks. And you know what? To the world, we're kooks. And to us, they're kooks. I'm saying, even a duck and a chicken don't get along too good. Oh, they're both birds. So are eagles and chickens. Eagles and chickens don't get along too good. The trouble is, the eagle beats the brains out of the chicken. That wasn't nasty. That's a little truth I want you to get a hold of there. The chicken doesn't have a revelation. He's too busy looking at the ground. He can't look up. The only chicken I ever saw lose its ever look up was a chicken that had drunk, eaten the neighbor's mash. And it got drunk. Wrong spirit, but it sure did the right thing. It climbed up on the top of the chicken coop and squawked and tried to fly. You know, chickens can fly pretty high to get in the spirit. But they're still not eagles. Brother Brand said this was ego food. We don't be facetious, trying to make fun of anything. We're not. Just telling you the truth. The world doesn't understand us. We don't understand the world. The world's crucified to us. We're crucified to them. People cannot understand what has happened in our generation and is happening. It has always been that way, brother, sister. Adam and Eve blew it. Everybody except the elect always blow it. But God's good. He'll bring the elect back. Level us out. Under the seventh seal, we're going to make the rapture. Well, it's been wonderful having you with us. Appreciate it so much. Love you deeply. And I, by the grace of God, maybe I've said things a little bit offhanded today, but I don't believe I said one thing that isn't backed up by the word of Almighty God, what the prophet said. And you see these things more and more clearly. And what they're calculated to do, and I trust they are doing, is to bring your faith to a place of perfection, along with mine, along with all the bride. I trust mine's growing. I trust yours is growing. That perfection of faith where Abraham was fully persuaded. A full persuasion until it just is a part of your life. Every thought just is automatic. Everyone is in the channel. That's what we're striving for. That's why I preached a little bit last night as I did. We, by the grace of God, we must get there. Put everything to one side until that word has full possession. Let us rise at this time and be dismissed. We'll continue next Wednesday. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank and praise you for your love and mercy to us. Again, Lord, not getting too far, but we know, Lord, we got far enough. Seeing these things that were not formally made known to us as we ought to know them, couldn't place them, but now we place them in what you told us. With the rest of the word, we're very grateful for it, Lord. And we know, Father, that more than ever about the seed, it never did have a beginning. It was in you. That there's that little the eternal life that was in there already brought down in a natural form. We don't understand that either. But we do know that that's what happened. And now by your grace, Lord, and by your love, and by what you're doing, Father, you're going to bring us into a state that we've seen in the Bible some things about it, but there's no way at this minute we even begin to understand and can calculate just a fraction of it. There's no way, Lord. We only know that the real truth of the matter is that eye hath not seen nor ear heard. And no matter what we see and hear at this moment, it's just never going to be what the reality is. It's just never going to be. But thank God we know it is there. And we know, Lord, that you're a God of surprises, a God of love. You like to surprise your children and do good things for them just the same as we do. Your life and our lives are just based close together in these things. And we appreciate that so much that one day we're going to step beyond the curtain of time. Right back on this earth here, we'll be with you in a millennium, in the New Jerusalem. People, absolutely people, but glorifying you in a glorified form. What a day that's going to be, Lord. And we thank you for it. And Lord, we cannot thank you enough for it because we don't know enough about it to really get to thanking you. And then, Lord, when we do get there and know more about it, I doubt very much if we'll be able to thank you even then, but just stand in the awe and wonder of it all. Lord, I pray there won't be one person leaves this building without examining his or her heart and wondering and just asking, Lord, at this time, am I ready? Have you really saved me? Am I really born again? They might come along, Lord, and dedicate heart and mind to you, having heard this word and knowing that this is that hour. And you fill them with your Holy Spirit. And each one of us, Lord, little measure by measure, until there's nothing in our lives, Lord, but the grace of God, the Holy Spirit in there. Father, that is the big thing we look for, as the prophet said, to be sealed in by you. We know these things, Lord, but we want to know them experientially in a way that we've never known before. Now that you are here, Lord, and you are the author of life, we ask you for more of your life and less of ours, till we say with Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, we want that. This is the thing we really aspire to above everything else, because we know that then our hearts are satisfied, and they can't be satisfied any other way than just being one with this word. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's just depart, saying, take the name of Jesus with you.